Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word, and we just pray you would help us to understand the truths contained therein. May they be life-giving truths to us, and just help us that we might see you clearly, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so our theme and our desire for this year in 2020 is that we, each of us, would have 2020 spiritual vision. That we would not see the world just based on the temporal and the material. We would see beyond that to what is spiritual, what is eternal, the things that last, the things that really matter. And, of course, we don't see these with our physical eyes. Our body does not have that capacity to sense the spiritual. Instead, we see it with the eyes of faith. And so as Moses, we want to be able to see the one that is invisible. We want to be able to see God with the eyes of faith. We want to sense his presence with us. We want to see his hand at work in our world and in our own lives. And especially in times of trouble and distress or despair, we want those moments to see his face. We want to draw close to him. We want to communicate with him in a deep and a meaningful way. But for all of us, there are moments where it doesn't seem like God is near. It doesn't seem like he is at all at work in our lives. We can't trace his hand in our situation. We're in times of distress, times of difficulty. We pray, and there doesn't seem to be any answer. And we're hoping things get better. They actually get worse. And in those difficult moments, we seek the face of God, but it can seem in those moments like God is hiding his face from us. We see in Psalm 13, in verse 1, that David himself made this statement. He says, How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And so in those moments, we can get frustrated, we can get upset, we can get discouraged. We ask questions like, okay, is God playing games with me? Why doesn't he answer? Why doesn't he manifest himself in my life in a more evident way? What is God's problem? And we have to realize in those moments that if there is an issue between us and God, that pretty much we can guarantee it's not God that has the problem. It is us by the process of elimination. And so instead of reacting and getting upset, it is instead a time for calmness and introspection. Quite a few of us here have glasses, and I think all of us have had a moment when we're looking at something, we're trying to see it, and we can't understand, why is this so blurry and fuzzy? But then we think, oh, wait a minute, maybe I should take off my glasses. We say, oh my goodness, I've got something on there, that's what the problem is. And so we clean it off, and then we put it on, and it's like, oh wow, that's so much better, I can see everything so much more clearly. Or we can think of times maybe where we've looked through a pair of binoculars or through a telescope or a microscope, and initially we look at it and it's like we can't see anything. It's all blurry. But of course, we don't immediately assume that the device is broken or defective. We realize, okay, there's adjustments that might need to be made. So we turn the dial a little bit. And once we make those necessary adjustments, things come into focus and we can see clearly. Or, again, I think this is something that we can all run into at this time of year, where we're got to go to work or got to go somewhere, and usually We tend to be in too much of a rush than we need to be when we leave our homes in the morning, and we hope we can just jump in our car and head out down the road like we do in the summertime. But of course, what happens? We get out there and the windshield is all iced over. And we look at the time and we think, well, I'm going to be late. And so we do a lot of things we probably shouldn't do to get by. That a lot of times what do? Is we scrape out a little kind of porthole that we can peer out of. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I'll just put the washer fluid on and it'll spray and that'll dissolve the ice. And of course, that works when it's like -2 or -3. But if it's like -10, -15, that actually makes it worse as it clears, but then it ices up again. And you're basically emptying out your washer fluid in order to try to keep your windshield open. Or it can be something when we're trying to go and the defrost is starting to work. We have this little sliver that's starting to open, and so we either crouch down or lean way back and try to look out of that little sliver and hope as it gets a little bit more that we can actually get into a proper position. And we know we shouldn't do that, of course, and actually we do realize that we could be ticketed for doing that. And it is, we can be ticketed because it is dangerous, because we can't see clearly. That, sure, we might see out of our portholes, but if someone's coming from the side, we could miss them completely. And so, what do we need to do in those situations? We need to take the time, and a lot of times think ahead a little bit more. Okay, I need to scrape the window. I need to get the car started, get the defrost on. I need to let it warm up sufficiently as it clears off. And of course, as winter turns to summer, we recognize that there's necessary maintenance that we need to do as well. That we always need to make sure that the fluid is topped up. When it's summertime, we change it so it can get rid of kind of the bug guts that get spattered all over it. And of course, we don't want to wait until the middle of a downpour to think, oh yeah, the rubber on the wiper blades is ripping off. I should have replaced these, right? We want to think, okay, I need to have this so it's ready. So if it's a big rainstorm, or maybe if someone splashes into a puddle next to me and it gets on my, I need to be able to wash it off quickly because I need to be able to see clearly to get where I'm going. That if I don't, I could cause an accident. I could get myself and others into a lot of trouble. And so physically speaking, we recognize that there are times when our vision can be blurred. And when that occurs, we know we need to figure out why, and we need to take the necessary steps to clear our vision again. And so to fail to do so is to put ourselves and others in danger. And so this is true physically speaking, and it is all the more true spiritually speaking. Because our spiritual vision, our ability to see and to sense God, can become impaired. Spiritually speaking, it can feel like we are in a fog. Everything is obscured. Nothing is clear. And it is in those moments that we can be tempted to doubt God's presence, doubt God's care and concern for us. But instead, we need to stop and think, I know God is here. I know He loves me, but what is in the way of me seeing Him? What has made my spiritual vision so blurred? Is there a lens or a window through which I am looking that needs to be cleaned? And are there adjustments that I need to make so that I can see God? And so this passage here in Matthew 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount given by the Lord Jesus Christ near the beginning of His ministry. And it's in this portion of Scripture specifically that we read this morning that we have what are called the Beatitudes, which are declarations of blessedness by our Savior that He makes to those having particular virtues. And so much is to be considered with each statement He makes. And in many ways, a sermon could be made from each single verse and the implications of that. But for today, we want to consider the statement He makes in verse number 8. And being tucked away amongst the others, it can be easy to skip over and not realize its significance. But as we pause to meditate, we see that Christ is giving us a very important truth. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." To be blessed, we know, means to be advanced, to be lifted up, to be prospered, or to be taken from a lower place to a higher place. It is to possess or be given something that will help us move forward in life. And so to see God face to face, to have a deeper relationship with Him, to experience firsthand His grace and His favor, that is probably the greatest blessing we could ever hope to have. And we can have that. And God wants us to have that. But for that to happen, we need to be pure in heart. We don't see God with our physical eyes. We don't identify His presence through our other senses. We discern God through our spirit, that part of us which communes with God. And our spirit then communes with our soul. And our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Of course, our emotional center is what we refer to as our heart. It's not the same as the organ within our chest that pumps our blood. It is that emotional center. And our heart is where we meditate upon things. It is where we connect and we dwell upon things in deep thought. And so, when our heart is clean, the message that comes from the spirit into the soul gets through. There's nothing in the way. But if our hearts are dirty, our spiritual vision is clouded, and our ability to see God becomes blurred and impaired. And so when we struggle to sense God's presence, when we can't see His hand at work in our lives, if our prayers don't seem to get anywhere, we need to recognize there is a problem within us that needs to be addressed. That God is not dead, God is not far away, He hasn't suddenly become weak or uncaring. That we have to think, okay, what is the issue within me? We see the statement made in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Where it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." And we see in that chapter, just so much is spoken of them as a nation and the problem of sin that they had amongst them, and how bad that it got to be. And so, We want to understand that when there is iniquity and sin within our life, that prevents God from doing within us and connecting with us as He would desire to do. We see in Proverbs 15 and verse number 29, where it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." That there, if there's not a closeness with God that we once had, we have to see, okay, God hasn't moved. Maybe it's me that's moved away from Him. And so we need to ask that question when we find ourselves in this situation where it seems God is distant, where it seems He's not listening, where it seems He doesn't care. We need to say, okay, it's not that there's something the matter with God. Maybe there's something the matter with me. What's going on inside of me that I need to deal with so that my spiritual vision can be fully restored? And so sin is often something that we fail to take seriously. That there's different things that we look at, that there's big sins and little sins. Those are the serious ones that need to stay away from them. But there's other things that we think, well, this is not really any big deal. They don't really do me any harm. It's just something where God kind of has a suggestion that we should not do that. But we want to understand that sin is sin, and all sin is destructive. When we sin, we hurt other people. If we lie, we break people's trust in us. When we steal from them, we take something from them that could benefit and bless them. And if we inflict pain, that's something that we recognize those to be sin. But we want to understand, when we sin, the person we hurt the most is ourselves. Because really, you think about it, to live life properly, to make wise decisions, to have peace and focus and purpose in life, we need to always be aware of God's presence. We need to always be aware of His work in our lives. And it's the thing that when we disregard God's command, when we decide to do our own thing, it makes it all the more difficult for us to see Him clearly. And so if we want to see God, we need a heart that is pure from sin. And so the sin within us, whatever it might be, needs to be cleansed from our heart so that spiritually speaking, we do not have blurred vision any longer. But yet as we ponder this, we can be tempted to fall into a mindset of discouragement and frustration because we look at ourselves and we say, well, how can I ever possibly be pure enough that I can see God? That I try my best, but I know my faults. I'm not perfect. There's sins that I struggle with, and I can't seem to get victory over them. And so we can ask the question like Solomon did in Proverbs 20 and verse 9, where he said, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. And we can say that, yeah, that's not something that we can do ourselves. We just don't have the capability on our own to cleanse ourselves out. A lot of times we can fix the outside. We can put on a good presentation where we have it all together. But we know inside we've got so many issues we need to deal with. And so we can look at this and we say, okay, God calls me to seek His face. But it would seem that He's wanting me to engage in an exercise in futility because I can only see His face if I'm pure, and no matter how hard I try, I'll probably never be pure enough to see Him. But thankfully, we don't need to be discouraged because God wants us to come to Him. He wants us to seek His face, and He knows our hearts. He knows they need to be purified so that we might be able to see His face. And so He's not leaving us alone to solve this problem on our own. We want to understand that He provides what we need to cleanse and purify our hearts so that we can see Him clearly in our lives. And it's interesting when you look at Isaiah chapter 59, because it starts off with saying of how the problem is of our iniquities and that gives a barrier between us and God, and it gives such a great list of how bad it is. And reading this, I think it's not something where we look at, oh yeah, this is just the Jewish people in that day. This has no application to our lives. That we could read this and it very much be our society, and sometimes some of these things could be us personally that we have mentioned. But we see, as we get into verse 15, the latter part where it says, truth faileth, he departeth from evil, maketh himself a prey. But this is a statement we see. It says, the Lord saw it and displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was glad with zeal as a cloak. And so it's that thought that he's stepping into history, that he said, I see the problem, I see that man cannot fix that problem on his own, so I am going to come down and I am going to fix the problem. I am going to bring that salvation and purification from sin so that then the relationship can be restored. And so we want to understand that God doesn't want us to remain in a position of impure hearts that cause us to have blurred spiritual vision. He wants us to experience His purification and His cleansing. And He's given us what we need so that we can see Him clearly in our lives. And so first of all, from the Scriptures, we recognize that it is the Scriptures themselves that God uses and wants us to use to cleanse our hearts. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we see in verse 27, Ephesians 5, where he says, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And it's a thought that he loves the church, he loves us despite our many imperfections, and he gave himself for us, and it's so that he could cleanse us and sanctify us with the washing of the water of the word. That's what God's word is to us. It is the water of life in many ways that God can use to cleanse us and to purify us. That we think of his church, that it's that idea that one day the church shall be as a bride adorned for a husband, that there's not going to be any spot or blemish or any such thing. But we realize in our own lives personally that that's what he's seeking to do, is to purify our hearts, that he would help us to become more Christ-like. And so he wants to do that. And it's as we have God's word as a big part of our life, and we read it and we study and we meditate upon it, that the Holy Spirit of God wants to use the word of God for that cleansing work, that he wants to reveal the areas of our heart that need to be purified. And then he lays out to us what we need to do so that as we apply the truths of God's word, our lives can be cleansed. So we think of it that we are cleansed through the word of God, but secondly, we are also cleansed through the power of the blood of Christ. And we see this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. First John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we want to recognize that as we come to him, as we walk in the light of his word, as we recognize where we've sinned, and we come to the Lord in repentance, in confession, seeking his forgiveness, that we know that we can be forgiven, that we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And we really want to understand that all is that little word that in the scriptures we often have such a difficult time believing. That we think, well, maybe there's an exception. I've done something so bad that how can he ever purify this out of my life, out of my heart? I feel so guilty and ashamed of what I did. But he says, no, he is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That his blood can take out the toughest of stains. There's actually a hymn that it talks about how the blood of Christ reaches deeper than the stain is gone, that he can do that. And that's why we see his statement made in Isaiah chapter 1, where he says to his people, he says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you think of that, of just how challenging it can be to get certain stains out of clothing, right? That there's different things that we try to do and wash it again and again, have these different tricks. But it's the thing is that when we get a deep stain, we think, okay, yeah, it's not coming out. But we understand with the Lord, that he says, when I apply my blood to your life, to your sin, it's coming out. There's no stain anymore. You're cleansed. And that's, we see with David, in Psalm 51, which was his repentance psalm, where he asked the Lord to clean him. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And that's what he can do, that he can blot out our iniquities. He can create in us a clean heart, which we might think we've never really had a clean heart fully, but that's something that he can create anew within us, and we can be so thankful for that. And so it's the thought that God calls us to himself. He provides what we need to cleanse and purify our hearts so that we can see him clearly. And so it is up to us to take what he has provided and use it so that it will do the job it was designed to do. That I think all of us, when we pick up our glasses from the optometrist, that we're always given a bottle of glass cleaning solution and a special cloth, right, to keep our glasses clean. And if we use up the cleaning solution or we end up losing them, they're usually happy to get us another one. Of course, probably we have to pay for it if we keep doing it. But it's that thought, because you know, this is what you need that's going to best clean your glasses. And of course, sometimes what do? Is we like, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to wipe it on my sleeve or on my shirt tail or on who knows what else. And then eventually we look at our glasses and it's like they're so scratched up we can barely see them. And we realize, okay, what's happened? It's because I haven't used what I was given that's going to do the job properly. And so we think of that as well, that in a pair of binoculars, a telescope or a microscope, there's always some little dial on them that you can twist or turn that's going to bring things into focus, right? And it would be foolish not to use them when they're right within our grasp and so easy to reach. And imagine, too, if we are in a blizzard or a rainstorm or going down a muddy road and we get splashed by a big truck, are we going to just scream, I can't see, and drive our vehicle into the ditch? No, we're going to turn on the wipers. We're going to clear the windshield. And we understand that physically speaking, but often we don't do that when it comes to our spiritual vision. We read in Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so we want to understand that there's a daily maintenance we all have to do. And there's no exceptions here, that all of us have to get God's word in our hearts and meditate on it and dwell upon it and put it into practice for it to do its work, to cleanse our way, to cleanse our hearts. That we think about it, we go through this world that we can get a lot of mud on us, right? That different things happen, people do stuff to us, and our tendency can be to react, and sometimes processing it, we start dwelling upon things. And if we do that too much, we can get into bitterness and other things like that. And we have to realize, okay, those things are bad for me, those things need to be cleared off. And it's very necessary, because it's kind of the thing we think of bitterness. If we allow that to take root in our life, that we can get totally upset with God and even turn our back on God because we think God doesn't love me, God doesn't care. Where instead we want to realize, no, God's trying to use this situation to give us an opportunity not to be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good. And so we want to see it for what it actually is. And so it's the thing is that's what we have to do. We have to take God's word. We have to apply it to our hearts. A lot of times the Spirit needs to do a lot of deep scrubbing to get some of the junk out of us. But that's what we need to do. It needs to be there. And it's as God reveals something between us and God that we need to make right, it isn't something where we wait for a few days. Instead, we need to immediately confess it with God so we can experience his full cleansing. We can be back to that close relationship with him. And so that's the thing, that there, as we travel through life, there's things that are going to splatter across the windshield of our heart. It's going to knock it out of focus, and we're going to get dwelling on the wrong things. And so we need to turn on the wipers to clear it off. We need to get our vision and our focus back. And so we recognize that God calls us to himself, to draw near unto him. He says in James 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. But to do that, we see what it says in the latter part of that verse, where he calls us to cleanse our hands and to purify our hearts from our sin and from our double-mindedness. And universally, as believers, We can become pure in heart as we apply the cleansing agents God has provided, His Word and the blood of His Son. But it's a daily habit we need to develop. And it's the thing is that if you're at a place in your life right now where it can seem hard to see God in your life, I promise you that as you come to Him, as you apply God's Word, as you have Him reveal things of your heart to you, and you come to Him for forgiveness and cleansing, that the truths of His Word are going to wash your heart, the mud and grime is going to be wiped away, and as you experience God's purification, your spiritual vision will no longer be blurred. Your sight will be restored, and you will see God all the more clearly. And so as we conclude this morning, I want to ask you, how is your spiritual vision? Are you struggling to see God? Are you struggling to sense Him? Are you doubting His love, perhaps even His very existence? We know that God is real. We know that He is present among us even now. And if we're struggling to see Him, we need to realize maybe it's my heart that's in need of cleansing. And so we need to apply God's Word. We need to come to Jesus in repentance for His forgiveness. And so I don't know, for each of you here, I don't know your heart today, but God does, and I pray that each of us today might pray, Lord, search my heart. Reveal to me if there's sins of the heart that has been obscuring my vision, that I've looked at as being nothing big or important, but what it's been doing for a long time is keeping me from seeing You and being close to You as I desire to be. And may each of us, as we seek Him, experience His cleansing and His purifying work so that we can see Him clearly either once again or perhaps for the first time be able to see Him as He truly is. That our spiritual vision does not need to remain blurred. It can be restored. And so may each of us seek His cleansing so that we can behold His blessed face. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your desire to have a relationship with us, Your desire to show Yourself unto us. And Lord, we just pray You would help us to do the daily work that You call on us to do to seek Your cleansing and purification, Lord, as Your Holy Spirit uses Your Word to reveal to us what needs to be changed, what needs to be repented of. And we just, Lord, we just pray You'd help us to be sensitive, Lord. Help us to realize holding on to different things causes us to lose out on so much of what we can have with You. And just help us this week to just have our hearts purified so that we can see You all the more clearly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.